Hello, you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Blizzquake. We're going to play some music for you. Thank you. Hello and welcome back. You are listening to Blizzquake on 91.5 FM at WMFO Medford. Today we have a special guest, a longtime listener and a longtime caller, Chris, and I won't say his last name, but he has been on the show. He is even a founding member of it. Will you put on your headphones so that we can...
Holding my headphones here at work. Is this good? Can you hear me?
I can't tell. Talk.
I hear you.
Talk.
Hi.
Talk.
Hey.
Talk.
How are you?
Okay, you're mic four. Great.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear anything in here?
I hear you, yeah.
Can you hear you?
No.
That doesn't make any sense. All right, well, Chris, why don't you say a little bit about yourself?
You know, and you say I'm a longtime listener, longtime fan, longtime caller. I'm a founder of the show. The show before was Blizzquake was Miami Blizzard. Then it was Miami Blizzquake. And then now it's just Blizzquake, but we're making it Miami Blizzard again, so...
Miami Blizzard, that is true.
So I'm happy to be back, you know? It's weird to be back in the saddle, back at the old... good old Tufts University. It's been a while.
Oh, she'll buck ya.
Yeah, she'll buck and... Anyways,
Yeah, what did we do? Tell everyone about what we did before this.
Well, we saw the house that we lived in for 2 years.
What was that like?
It was weird.
Driving up that crazy hill.
You know... Living standards in college are just a lot lower than when you have a job and are an adult in the real world and actually look for benefits like laundry included, or at least discounted laundry in laundry machines that function. And
not holes in the wall.
No holes in the wall. And actual, you know, insulation.
That's
been around for centuries.
Centuries.
You would think...
It could have made its
way.
They
must have forgotten it or something.
Yeah, one house, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, not... Tufts housing, man.
Tufts housing is not...
Investigative report coming soon. Just kidding.
We're going to have another op-ed out of Chris.
I love my op-eds. I've written several.
Yeah,
written
one.
Two.
Two? What's...
And I've actually written three, because I've written some for work, but ghostwritten, but I'll never tell you which ones I've written.
I'm sure I could
figure
it out.
And I'm sure you've read them. Front page of the New York Times opinion column.
That's right. Yeah, what's your handle? It's... What's his name? Glass? I was going to try to...
Ira Glass.
Ira Glass.
That's my pen name.
Yeah, that's your pen name.
Yeah, that's
and pen voice. And yeah. Anyway, yeah. We're going to play music, I think, because we need to do that. Chris, do you want to do a...
Wait a bit. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
We'll save a surprise for the fans.
We have time.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to call in and talk to Chris, might be your only chance to. Or, ooh, I could say your whole phone number right now.
Please don't.
Okay. Well, in that case, then we'll just play music.
On that note, here is... What's the next song up?
You gotta guess.
Is Cariño?
Oh. No, you weren't even close. All right.
Oh,
And if you didn't think that you could get enough of us before, now we're going to talk to you with our audio about a movie. Multimodal conversations.
Hitting all the D's. 3D, 4D, 2D.
Did I tell you about that time that I was...
Is sound 1D? Because 2D...
Why would it be 1D?
I don't know.
That's a point.
I guess the D's apply to, like, images.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, okay, 1D is a point. 2D is a line. 3D is another line? Triangle?
I don't know. You're the one who worked in design stuff.
Yeah, I should know that, probably.
Yeah, you probably should.
Okay, wait. Speak into your mic a little bit.
Speaking into it.
Okay, that's better. Yeah, do that. Okay. As long as your little guy is bouncing over there, then they're killing it.
Fantastic.
All right. Can you hear yourself?
No.
That's so weird.
Wait, okay. You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Huh.
All right, well.
Well, technical difficulties over here at WMFO, but we will
persist. Every week you show up. Okay, well, we want to talk to you about a movie. Chris and I recently saw a movie together.
It was a great movie.
It was excellent. Try those. They're kind of short.
I have to move.
Just see if they work.
One second. Bear with me.
Can you hear? You can move your chair over. Okay, wait. Put that into your mic. Can you hear anything?
Nope.
All right. Whatever. Just find your original. Okay. So, what the people want. Anyway, yeah, they don't want to hear us doing that. Chris and I just saw...
Asteroid World.
And it was...
Astro World.
Yeah. The newest Wes Anderson collab.
Travis Scott. A match made in heaven.
Couldn't be better. Yeah. What'd you think about it?
So... those of you who are on my letterbox, which I assume is none of you.
No, probably most of them.
No, I gave the movie 3.5 stars out of 5.
What's your average rating?
I can check right now.
I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I can give it a look. Wes Anderson movies, as everyone, you know, they are a little bit of a trope. You know, there's a whole TikTok trend where it's like something, something Wes Anderson style.
Yeah.
Like a business or some school program or anything.
And I feel like it's everyone's favorite intro to film.
Which, for the record, Wes Anderson says he hates those because he thinks they like turn him into like a pastiche. And
interesting.
I think he kind of sets himself up for it because he shoots his movies in a distinctive way, and I think he relishes in it, honestly.
I think
at the beginning of this movie, when we hadn't gotten to know the characters yet, and it's just like his style of doing it, I'm just like, oh man, he's so into himself. And honestly, the messages were like, you know, pretty big statements, broad statements to make. And if for a second I was
what statements do you think it was making?
Is he punching above his weight? Well, I think the movie...
What do you think it was about?
I think a lot of, and this isn't a spoiler, but I think the movie's a lot about, like, the meaning of life and how...
Oh, like, I did not get that from it, actually.
And how to, like, sort of be okay with your existence and how to process it all in the face of feeling small. That was my interpretation.
Okay, I think that interpretation is right. Like, yeah. I think that's a good interpretation. I think it was...
Thank you.
I think what I was feeling about it was that it was more about the exploration of, like, kind of like a liminal time and a liminal space.
Well, I think he uses that as a vehicle.
Yeah, I think,
do that in the first
I'm reconsidering my, like, I think that my takeaway from it is like a subset of yours.
Yeah.
And I think he was very interested in exploring just like, what does it look like to be in this like weird time space that I guess is about the meaning of life, but I think it felt more to me just like about what does it mean to be like you and like just like weird things happening to you.
Yeah.
And what do you do to like pass time? Like I almost feel like it felt to me more like, and I don't know if it was or wasn't, but it kind of felt like what it was like to be at school during COVID. Where you're like, I mean, literally they're in quarantine, but who you spend your time with, what it is that you're like doing to pass time for fun.
Yeah,
the relationships that form because of that.
Time with otherwise, which I at least in a college environment, when you know you're around, you're not around your family, you're around like your housemates and maybe like one or two other people. Like it's a different set of circumstances. That's a really good way to think about it.
Yeah, and I think in that way it was interesting and fun. Like I don't think I left that movie feeling underwhelmed by it, but not like upset. Like it wasn't bad. It was just like I think it could have been better.
I really, The French Dispatch, his last movie, mm-hmm. really didn't do it for me.
Yeah,
I didn't feel it. I felt like that one was a lot more style over substance. And in this one, I felt like there actually was a little bit of stuff to, like, back up the you know, kind of pretentious style. And I think, to me, I have this, like, hypothesis, like, when you first get into movies as, like, a teenager or adult, or whenever you choose to get into movies, the first people you really go to, besides, like, the classics that more likely than not you grew up with, like, Steven Spielberg,
yeah,
or, like, you know, George Lucas, and, like, those, like, you know, sci-fi nerdy, especially, I think, maybe within the context of being, like men, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I think there is a different subset of, like, movies. Like, I've never seen Twilight. I know. The people are going to get mad at me.
You have to see the baseball scene.
I'm planning to see them this summer.
It's just the baseball scene.
I'm a little excited. I'm a little scared, but overall, more excited than scared.
You're going to like it because it's just...
It was a camp classic, I've
been told. It's so camp.
Yeah.
And also, it's just, why was it made that way? It's crazy. It's,
no, you see, even you saying that is getting me really excited.
It's like filmmaking incompetence while also being very competent in other ways.
Hmm.
That it's sort of a weird train wreck collision. That's, I think, really interesting.
Is it a bit of a cosmic gumbo?
Goodbye.
I think you should leave a Tim Robinson reference.
It was a comment,
I like to shoot those out once every 5 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. We are so appreciative.
And I think you should be. So...
I was trying to figure out how I would have made Asteroid World better.
Asteroid City.
No, I know.
This is really going to bother me.
Okay, fine. How I would have made Asteroid City better... And I think that there was just a lot of... Like, there was a lot of characters, and I think that's maybe fine. But there was a lot of time wasted on things that I think weren't ultimately substantive. Like, we sat around and we listened to, the Brainiac kids talk about names for probably 5 entire minutes of the runtime. And that was useless. It's useless. It doesn't build a character. It doesn't do anything.
I think a lot of times, and I think people don't talk about this enough, character comes first, and these are demonstrations of character. And it's character plus vibes... Which I do think a problem in a lot of movies these days is the plot comes first, and it should never come first. It should always be the characters driving the story. And I think Wes Anderson, he has the creative freedom because people know who he is, that he can just do this stuff. And yeah, I do think it is a little pointless, and it didn't engage me maybe as much as the director would have originally anticipated. And yet, you know what? Whatever.
It was fine. It was enjoyable.
It was fine.
And I don't think... I would also say that, like, a movie doesn't necessarily have to accomplish, like, a message or, like, something... Like, I don't know if that needs to happen. Like, it could just be exploring vignettes or whatever.
Yeah.
That was... All of that was fine, but I felt like... I think that it was almost that he was, like, so... He's so big now.
Yeah.
And, like, there's so much hype around him that I feel like people are afraid to sort of tell him no.
Yeah.
Because he comes across as someone with... like a single vision, it's a Wes Anderson, it looks like a Wes Anderson movie, whatever, and no one wants to be the person who like reins that in, and because of that it bloated to a point where I think it wasn't as effective as it once was.
And I think that case could be made for the past few movies. Isle of Dogs,
I liked Isle of Dogs.
I love the stop motion animation, and I love dogs. So I love Japanese culture. Is he the one to make a story about Japanese culture?
A great question.
You know, he's a white dude.
Is Wes Anderson?
But what do I know? But one other thing I think it all comes back to what I was starting to say earlier is, you know, there's this. I think when you start to like self educate on like important filmmakers and stuff, I think the first people you turn to, and I remember doing this like a decade ago when I was like in high school. Wes Anderson and Quentin Tarantino were the first filmmakers who I really like went through like their like catalog. Their inventory. I think
it's not that one.
Yeah, it's not that one.
Their brochure.
And so I went through their brochure. It was a beautiful 3-page pamphlet.
Oh, so good. Front hand back.
And I must have seen Grand Budapest Hotel and Royal Tenenbaums like 5 times each over the course of a few years. And I think that maybe maybe that was just like too many times to see a movie. You can only see a movie so many times before it like starts to have that same impact.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you watch these movies and it's like a starter kit. And so, you know, what's going to happen. And honestly, like, and you know, speaking of Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, his last movie,
I did not like it
in the slightest. And I think Hateful Eight was decent too. That was
I liked
one
Hateful
before
Eight.
That.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little bit of diminishing returns. I think he really peaked with Inglourious.
I don't know if you can say. I don't know either.
Inglourious Bundt cakes.
You can, yeah.
I don't know.
Have an adult in the room tell you what that word is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Yeah. I think... I mean, okay, here's a question, I guess, going back more so to Wes Anderson. Mm-hmm. You weren't as much a, like, let's go grab the camcorder, let's, like, try to make this, like, a movie with my friends, right? That was not as much what you did. Oh, you did do that.
I did do that, yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say...
There's some crazy stuff that I made in iMovie, that was, mm-hmm. like, using, like, a trailer template.
I was using, like, Pinnacle Studio, if you've heard of that, or, yeah, like... Wait, no. Yeah, no one has.
I did, like... the Adobe free trial. I use like all the free trials of like Final Cut Pro, yep. and like the Adobe Creative Suite.
I kept making new Adobe emails.
I made compilations of movies, and I would like get, and I got a GoPro for Christmas one year that was used. I put like random electronic royalty free music in the background as I showed myself like on a family trip to like Colorado or something.
You were the original Casey Neistat. We've done this. Yeah. We've gone through and talked.
So no,
about
I definitely was one of those, and I think Wes Anderson started as one of those.
Because I think it feels very accessible. Because it's like, here we have a composition. It's symmetrical. Let me make that.
Yeah. And it's satisfying, and it's weird to break the rule of thirds. It like detaches you a little bit, but it's also like he does it in a way with that it's like endearing at the same time, mm-hmm. but I also do think it is a little bit pretentious, and I think you can like his movies and also accept that, because I think there are some people that are like zealots, and it's just like but also at the same time people are entitled to like what they want to like, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think I'm excited to see what a next movie looks like, probably.
Yeah,
wasn't there something about
he's already shooting it.
What's it about, do you know? I
can't remember, let me search it up.
And wasn't there something with Tarantino where he's, like, done now?
He's making one more movie because he's like, oh, I'm making 10 movies. I'm going out the top of my game. He sounds like someone I would like to, I can admire from a distance, but, like, I don't think...
You wouldn't want to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably don't need to be his friend, so...
I mean, I do... I think it's... There is something to say about stopping something at, like, the peak... versus continuing. But it also definitely is going to be like he's coming out of retirement, he's going to make one more. Like, he's going to get bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Okay, so the next Wes Anderson movie is set to shoot this year.
Okay.
Starring your favorite actor, Michael Cera.
I do like Michael Cera.
Really? I thought you would have some random, like...
No, I like
grudge
him.
...grudge against him where you're just like, oh, he's not talented, but...
No, I actually think that he is talented. Well, I don't know if he's talented. I think he either is exactly the character he plays, so he's not really acting that much, or I think he's honestly does a really good job making the cringiness of that kind of character not off-putting enough that you aren't going to watch it, which I think is hard. I think that's a fine line where you are off-putting, but not too off-putting.
Yeah. I have that struggle with myself all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Both of us.
You do too. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
I think on that note, we should cut to another song.
Yeah,
all right. Our next conversation topic.
All right, here we go.
All righty.
All right, welcome back. That was a song that Chris put into our QU, and it was, oh my god, we cannot play time again. It was Cariño by the Marías.
Yeah, great band.
Yeah, where did you first hear about them?
So, I love Bad Bunny. I'm a big Bad Bunny fan. He's awesome, and on his most recent album, Un Verano Sin Ti, he has a song called Otro Atardecer where they like guest spotted on it. Oh. Or were featured, not guest spot. And yeah, I just like their music. It's very like, it's indie and Spanish at the same time,
very
which
cool.
is a fun blend. I think
yeah.
Spanish is a very good, you know, it's a very good language for like songs, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Has a nice flow.
Yeah, it's very
to it.
I feel like it's musical spoken.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, I think depending on the country you're coming from speaking it. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, no. So I love them. And it's also Spanish was my first language, and it's good to practice Spanish when and a way to do that is by consuming Spanish language media.
I think that's a really good point. That's something I want. I mean, you've always been like, you got to watch Casa de Papel. Is that how you say it?
And
is
also,
that the name of it?
I should confess, my significant other is the one who reminded me of the Marías. I knew of them.
She encouraged me. Little BTS, Chris just opened his phone, saw what I assume was a very, like, give me credit text message, and then turned
such a,
and then
such
added
an
the
no,
addendum.
No. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's just checking the weather.
I'm watching the screen, like, get bright. Like, don't snitch. Snitches get stitches. Yeah, no, what were we just saying?
I've been instructed by your significant other to play Bad Bunny.
No way.
Yeah.
Play Bad Bunny.
Look at that. What a world we live in, folks.
Oh, what a world.
Technology.
All right, well, we'll see. We have a queue, and I'm really bad at
I can queue you some stuff up.
Okay, well, yeah. We have to do that when we can like concentrate, because every time I operate Spotify on the computer,
yeah, we'll get it to work.
Things get messed.
Let's talk about something.
Okay. So what I want to talk about, and then Chris was like, we can't talk about it because it's mean, is that I wanted to talk about what it's like to meet someone's like home friends or friends from school.
Yeah,
and you're like, whoa.
It's like it's such a weird feeling. It's like I don't know if we have any Seinfeld fans out there, but there's this one episode where Elaine starts becoming friends with other people. And I think it's one of the very few multi-episode arcs in Seinfeld. And it's basically like set up for a couple of episodes. And it's on one hand, there's like Jerry calls them like bizarro versions, like how Superman, one of his bad guys is Bizarro, which is like this clone, I think a clone of him or something.
Sure.
And so basically it's like evil clones of Kramer, of George, of Jerry, and she has to like choose between them, and they go to, and she even goes with that group to like a different diner.
That is funny.
And
that's really funny.
I do think there are friend, there's like friend group A and friend group B, and having them meet
is tough.
It can be stressful.
It's tough.
I think it's more stressful than introducing maybe like a significant other or something. It's like it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and also like sometimes I know that this is like all over the internet, but when you have to like put on a slightly different version of your personality, and like you kind of have to try to play one a little bit to one direction and one to another direction, so that like you're normal to each group of people, but not
use friend group type A humor with friend group
type
B.
That's it.
You can't do it.
And when you do, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It crickets.
Or in another
audience, it would have gotten raucous applause. And you know what? It's kind of a shame, but
yeah, I also think it's like, it's always interesting. So I visited a couple of my friends while I was at school, and I was kind of like trying to figure out like who the one-to-ones are. So like, oh, that's your replacement for like Frankie, or that's your replacement for like Joey or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I would, and I'd be like, oh, you didn't do a very good job replacing Jake. Like I was just like, it's like this person's
like your
all.
Own replacement.
Oh, I do not.
Oh man, I can be exacting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have high standards for myself. Well, not really, but like for myself.
For
you
like
know?
The mirror reflection.
For the mirror reflection,
yeah.
I hope you know.
Well,
yeah.
I have, like, I also have a very common name. So
you do have a common
name.
So
it's often that the replacement Ben is also named Ben, and I don't like
that. That is horrifying.
I don't like it at all.
That is terrible. What kind of world do we live in?
No, it's horrible. It was
people need more. You know. I'd say people need more unique names, but then it's like, no, because then they get made fun of in school and stuff.
I want to make fun of... There was a name... So when I was just traveling, we met this family from Colorado, and one of the kids... I forget both the kids' names, but like They're from Colorado, which is like what you need to know. And one of the kids' names was like tennis, like Tallahassee or like Tennessee or something.
You
and the
cannot
other name
your
was like
children
Persephone.
After geographical places.
I don't
unless they're like a normal sounding place. Or like Florence, I think might actually be a nice name, but like
that
I
one
don't
is
know.
That one to me feels so
Bryn
divorced.
Mawr? Or like Somerville, Somerville Johnson. It's like a cowboy name. I actually kind of like that.
Yeah,
I'm Somerville the... Johnson, sheriff,
deputy
Somerville.
Why would you be the why would you be the sheriff of Somerville with that name?
I don't know. Change, legally
that's a
change
that's
the
a
name.
One horse.
They
town
really love Somerville.
They love it. Yeah, elect. It's in the name. It's in my blood. It's like when you're like, I'm Ben Danger, and then like my last name, you know, and you're like, Danger's my middle name, and you're qualified. Don't look at me like
you,
that.
That's friend group type B humor. Sorry,
oh, shoot.
Dude.
All right, we gotta play music then. All right, well, you will hear another song and then hear us later. So, I had the misfortune of being pulled into what I would describe as an irresponsible plan, which was to go to the beach last weekend, and...
Oh no, you must have had such a bad...
You need to speak into that thing.
You must have had such a bad time.
No, it ended up being fine, but that was despite the sand. I just think that...
I hate sand. It's rough and it's coarse and it gets everywhere.
That was actually a really good impression.
I've seen Attack of the Clones. More times than I would care to admit.
What I like to do is I have not I don't know which of the Star Warses I've seen. I think it's under three of them total, and I don't know what order.
When I was a little kid, you remember when Netflixes would send DVDs
to I do remember those.
So, like, I told my parents, because my friend showed me one of the Star Wars movies, all out of order, by the way. He showed me, like, episode, three, and then I asked my parents, can you order me Star Wars, and they got me episode 5. And then I went back and watched episode 2.
Was that really confusing when, Leia and Luke were siblings and also not siblings? I didn't
like it until, the fourth movie. I was like, what is happening?
Why'd you keep watching it?
But
it took 2 weeks for the DVDs to show up.
In my fourth grade brain, I, put it all in order, and I was like, wow, this is unlike anything I've ever seen.
Huh.
To make an original trilogy, and then make three movies setting up those, to me, at the time, my mind was blown, you know? Yes, the dialogue, oh my god, it can be painfully bad. And you think was written by an 8-year-old boy, but the world building. Anyways, once I start talking about Star Wars,
that wasn't even the topic.
We're talking about the beach.
We're talking about the beach. I think I can understand why someone likes the beach if they have a beach house where you can leave the beach very easily. I just feel like I've spent so much time at the beach, and it feels like you're entering a survival situation where you're packing just. Oh, don't look
so
at me like
dramatic.
No, listen, you
that's
pack
so
like
dramatic.
All your provisions, you have like you're like
you ever been to a park?
Parks are great.
Same thing.
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
How's because it's not a desert. I'm not emanating a desert, which is like inherently unlivable. Why do you think there's not as many people out west?
Thousands of groups of people have lived on deserts for ages.
It's way less good than a forest.
The Bedouin?
A forest.
People in the Sahara. People in the Gobi.
More water.
People in the Atacama. People in the Southwest. Like, come on. Get real.
All right, whatever. I don't like a beach, and I want you to explain to me what are the good qualities of a beach.
You know, I just think it's in our human nature. We just want to go bask by a shore. It's like it's a holdover of our, quasi-reptilian ancestors. We just like to bask, you know, back when we were cold-blooded. And, you know, we like being near water. We like being in the sun. We like reading and doing activities. Going in the ocean, it just feels rejuvenating. I saw this weird Pinterest post that was on my Instagram Explore for some reason the other day.
That was a lot of layers.
Salt water cures everything, whether it's sweat, tears, or the ocean. And I was like, that's really cheesy, but it's not wrong. And I do think salt water, just like being in it, maybe just being in water in general, but being in the ocean is, I find it a very cathartic experience, and it's nice getting out of the water and then drying off on the beach blanket. You're eating some fresh fruit, some potato chips, maybe you pack a sandwich. And it's just, in Miami, when you go to the beach, you get some Cuban pastries before you go, some croquetica, some empanadas, and it really does make the experience a lot, I think it's a fun time.
I think it would be best done at a beach house. I think that's my issue. I don't like that you have to
Oh, so you're an advocate of private property for your beach experience.
That is not what I'm saying.
No,
I'm saying is it's annoying that you have to drive a car, get in the car, go all the way there. You have to have packed all this stuff. If God forbid you don't have enough water, and then you're literally dying, and then
did you pack water?
But then you have to pack. You have so much stuff to pack.
Speaking of, I'm really thirsty.
Okay, well, you're not supposed to drink in here.
Oh, I don't. I was pantomiming. I was
true.
Student of an acting school.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you went to
Juilliard.
Juilliard. I heard myself say it wrong, and I was like, it's too
King
late.
Julian.
It's
a Madagascar reference for all our cinephiles out there.
Yeah, one of the best movies ever.
You
really like the second one, and I think
no, I hate the second one.
You like
one
the
has
title?
The most, no, that title keeps me awake at night. It kept me
what is the title?
Madagascar Escape to Africa, but the 2 is in the middle of the logo. So it's is it Madagascar 2 Escape to Africa? Is it Madagascar 2 Escape Africa, or is it Madagascar Escape 2 number 2 Africa? And I think it's kind of genius, because all publicity is good publicity, and that is just permanently etched in my skull.
It's like how it's like PetSmart versus PetSmart, you know? Have you never thought about this?
I'm gonna need a moment.
Okay.
Have you really never
thought about this?
It's PetSmart, because the pet is in the blue.
Why
and
is
the
it not
smart? Is in the red.
Mart.
That's a great way to think about it.
It's exactly what you're talking about.
You know, there's this in Miami. There's this chain called Pollo Tropical. It's like a chicken and rice guys or halal guys, mm-hmm. but with like Caribbean style chicken. It's a great place. I've taken you there, actually.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
And the logo is a chicken getting a suntan on a beach under a palm tree. But it's kind of done in like this cubist way that like I literally did not like one
What's
time.
What's it called?
A pollo tropical. Pollo tropical.
Well, yeah.
And one time I was on the I was just like on a street I'd been on a million times in suburban Miami, and I just pass a like this drive through, and I see the logo, and it hit me. It hit me. That must have. It like.
Wait,
it,
what do you think it is? I'm looking at it now.
It blew my mind. Oh well, that's its modern. You know how like corporations updated their logos to be all like boring and sleek.
Hold on, we can fix this. We can fix this.
But back in the old days, it had a logo that was.
It really doesn't want to load. All right, well.
Anyways, you're just going to have to take my word for it. It was a weird logo, and or maybe I was just dumb. The world will never know. And I think we should play another song.
I think we should do that really quick.
Oh. I can do a little PSA.
Yeah, why don't you teach us something?
A hallmark of not only our show, but apparently of WMFO in general. Never heard anyone else do this, but we like to do it because it's fun. and important. But I had a good one, but I lost it. Bear with me, please.
There's some good ones since you last...
They add new ones?
Yeah, they add some new ones.
Do they add them to the back? These pages?
No, they're just destroyed. All over the place.
Oh, I lost it.
That one has dogs.
Yeah, we like dogs. All right. So, Ben, tell me.
Yeah.
You ever think about adding a pet to your family?
I've thought about that a lot of times.
Yeah.
To the chagrin of my housemates.
So, did you know there's this place called the Sterling Animal Shelter?
No.
The Sterling Animal Shelter reminds you that there are a variety of wonderful adult and young dogs at the shelter just waiting for a good home like yours. For more information about adoptions or pet care, contact the Sterling Animal Shelter at 978-422-8585 or visit www.sterlingshelter.org. Adopt, don't shop. This is a public service message from WMFO Tufts Radio.
All right, and with that, we'll play some Muzak.
Dog.
On the shades long, 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 children sleeping, we could dream this night away.
Alright, thank you so much for listening to Blizzquake on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Ben, and we were joined by a special guest today, Chris. Say bye to everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Alright, and we might be back next week.
Yeah.
Or Chris might be back next week. We will see. Alright, we'll leave you with one last song, and then it's the next show. Thank you.
That I'm sad. Don't Don't worry that you made me cry. I like it when I feel brokenhearted. I like it when I feel alone. Reflections of the waves. You're laying next to me with a t-shirt on your face. It comes as somewhat of a shock that when it's all through, you get a new coffee order and you keep moving on. Reflections of the waves. You laying next to me with a t-shirt on your face, so you can stay asleep and it makes